and the coins had cross branches of palms on the back of them. And then, of course, that ended with when the Romans came in and they could no longer have their own coins. And so it was not until 1948, some of you were not born then, I was, but in 1948, when Israel won its independence, that they were able to mint coins. Three times. One time in my lifetime. But in David's day, in during the Maccabean revolt, and then in the time of Israel. And so many of the coins today, if you have any, look on the back, and there are the cross palms. So what they were doing, it was kind of a secret message. We're getting ready to get you, Romans. They were standing around and saying, well, this is nice, you know. But it was really, you know, a sort of a sic-em kind of thing for their people in doing that. And so they made their way through the city, and then things began to develop. Now, the synoptics will mess you up. Not mess you up, they'll get you mixed up sometimes. They do different things. Some have Jesus going directly to the temple and on what we call Palm Sunday and cleansing the temple. It was Luke that had him coming back on Monday and doing that. No, Mark had him come back on Monday to do that. Now, when did John have him do that? When did John write about it? What day? If you remember from this morning, it was at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. He didn't wait to the end of it, where these were doing. So John teaches about the cleansing. But we're looking at the last week in Jesus' life. I did it again, I guess. In the last week of Jesus' life, he, what he's doing, it. I'm doing it, my knee, I guess. And so let's look at the what you would we would call the traditional chronology of a Holy Week, how we have cut our teeth on this, that it happened this way, Palm Sunday, on Sunday, of course, and then the things that happened on Friday. Sunday was the Palm Sunday, where they had the procession. This is really going back to Matthew, Mark, and Luke more than John here. But Monday was the cleansing of the temple, and he did some teaching around in the portico, Solomon's portico, inside the temple itself, where he would teach and people would listen to him. And what was happening was that Jesus gradually, one by one, was alienating these different political and religious groups, like the Pharisees, Sadducees. And he starts out by alienating the zealots. When they ask him a question, what about Caesar? And Jesus made that point of saying, render to Caesar what is Caesar's. And the zealots were just concerned primarily about paying taxes. And so Jesus said a soft thing when it would come to how you would deal with Rome. So they got mad at him. And then you move on, and time after time he would do things. And then when he turned the money changers' tables over, he made the Sadducees mad, because the Sadducees were hooked up with the Romans on making money off the money changers' tables. And one by one, he managed to make everybody mad. And he made, finally, on the last day, on Tuesday, in his teachings on the steps of Jerusalem, teaching steps, he spoke about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Now, I want to say something on behalf of the Pharisees. All the Pharisees were not terrible people. But many of the ones that were in charge and had power were pretty misled in power. And so all of them were not hypocrites. But many of them were very much hypocrites. So what happens then on Wednesday, the rest of Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, and this is our traditional way of doing things, we have said Jesus was in secret, whatever he was doing, probably teaching. And that on Thursday, now keep in mind, we've always looked at this as a Passover dinner, and this could not have been a Passover. I'll show you in a minute why it could not have been. So, but Jesus wanted to get his guys together one last time. And so really it was the Last Supper. They treated it like it was a Passover, but it was not the day of Passover. Passover was not for a couple more days yet. And on Thursday night he had this. And that night, while they were in the Garden of Gethsemane, after the dinner, Jesus was arrested. We know Judas's betrayal and all this. And he was taken back to Caiaphas's quarters. Annas first, who was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, and kept for that night, because there's two or three things could not happen. You had to wait 24 hours to have a trial for someone who was arrested. You could not have a trial at night, which was an interesting thing. So this sort of led that. So that meant that we're talking more about that time didn't permit between Thursday, as we know it, and Friday morning, 9 o'clock, Jesus on the cross. Probably he was arrested in the wee hours of the morning. And there was just too many things that went on. And, you know, you never think about it. And don't be, you know, listen to this more in terms of, hey, that makes sense. New scholarship has ventured forth to say, hey, it might have been different. There might have been a more contemporary look at what happened here, and therefore puts forth an alternate chronology for Holy Week. Sunday, according to John, Palm Sunday would be the processional. Then there was the cleansing of the temple, as far as the, well, mixing them up here, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and some teaching all day long. And then on Tuesday, he was teaching, and this is when he made the Pharisees mad. And the last ones to turn against him were the Pharisees. They were the last ones to turn. And then Jesus basically stood all by himself. That night, he got them together for supper. Now, there's some things that I want you to do on your own, not right now. But I want you to put Mark 14. You know, you put your thumb here and your finger here. It's a fascinating story in Mark, as it tells about Jesus giving what would have been John the Beloved and Peter the instructions to go to the Pool of Siloam. Pool of Siloam was the source of water for all of Jerusalem. And that you would meet there a man carrying a water jar. And follow that man, and you will discover where you will have the last meal. And you just read it, and it's almost verbatim. I've quoted it, and that is the place. And inquire, and they will show you the room. We call it the upper room. It's called a cataluma, and every home had one. It's kind of like a den, but much bigger, where people, guests would stay, and they'd have meals and things of this nature. So they were told to go there. And sort of a little trick in there. If you went to the pool and he saw a man, what's unusual about that picture? What now? That a man would be carrying water. Men did not carry water. Women carried water. I mean, seriously, I'm sorry, that's terrible. Daughters could carry them. Even their animals couldn't carry it. But men did not carry it. So what would be, who was this man that was carrying this water? What's the deal here? Well, let me tell you right quick. Wayne asked about Essenes this morning. Essenes were a celibate group of religious, very strict, very hard-nosed, very exclusive. It's interesting to note that Jesus grew up in that kind of a community in Nazareth. They were Essenes. They were lived at Qumran, and they lived up there. But anyway, there was in Jerusalem, and I'm going to try to do this, Bob. I'm going to take you back to that map. I can't get back there the way I used to get back there. There it is. If you would look here in the... have I got my arrow? We'll get organized. Next, is it there now? Good grief, what's the thing on the... I'm so sorry. I can't even read what it says from this angle. Is anybody up there? Can we get it? I'm so sorry. If you will look to the... I'm talking about the thing that's up there in the middle of it. Here you go. I need you to pull your chair up. There you go. If you will look, here is the Temple Mount. All of this is what we call Jerusalem. And over here, I think it says the Essene Quarter, does it not? Up in this corner is a place where some Essenes lived in Jesus' day. And they had a monastery there. And where Jesus has his Last Supper was at this Essene monastery. Now, that was a nice place to go. And this was, nobody messed over, around over here. If you were going into Jerusalem, you were walking the streets, you could come in. There's the Essene gate right here. And I'll show it in a minute, I hope. And you could come in and go out. That's where they would come in and go out and go to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so that's where they arranged to have the Last Supper. And in the Essene community. And what they did, they followed the Essene calendar. The Essenes were Jews, but they were not your run-of-the-mill, follow-the-line Jews. In fact, they had a calendar that was basically 2 days in advance of them. So for them, they would celebrate their Passover on Tuesday, and so it could have been a Passover supper for Jesus and disciples, but it was really 2 days earlier than the Thursday, what we've normally known. And actually, Maundy Thursday, which we adore, I do, it was not something that was in Jesus' day, but it was something that became popular in the church, early church, to observe that last meal together. And then in anticipation of Friday and the crucifixion. But the Essenes is what I want you to see, that Jesus always had a friendship with the Essenes. And I think it goes back to the days of his days in Nazareth. But he left Nazareth and went to Capernaum because of the Essenes, because they were hosts, they were so hard-hearted. They were exclusive. They found ways to get you out, not inclusive. And the Pharisees who lived in Capernaum were more friendly, and that's where he wanted to be, and that's the reason that he went there. But they're having their Last Supper here. So what happened that night is after their meal, they went through the Essene gate. I think I can do this on this angle. And they went outside the walls and went through the Kidron Valley, and they went way up here to, I just can't see it. They went up in this area to Gethsemane, where he wanted to do some final teaching. And this, of course, is where Judas betrayed him. And they came and they took him, and they returned him to I'm flying blind here, to Caiaphas's house. This is even on there, which was right in here, this area, in Annas and Caiaphas, where Jesus stayed overnight. Now, keep in mind all the things that are taking place and the things that could not take it place at night, and the Jews had the rules that you had to wait 24 hours and these things. You could not have done what was done. Seemingly, we've always celebrated like it took place in 10 hours. And so what the scholars are saying is that probably he was here, and then it was not really until Thursday morning, if you waited 24 hours, before Jesus could go before the Sanhedrin, which would be the Jewish court, and then they met with him. I've got a better map than this in the internet, but I couldn't find it if my life depended on it. But it's in the area near the temple. There was a house that was known as the Hasmonean house, and Jesus was brought before the Sanhedrin, and it was a very tough time because they were very tough inquisitors, and they put him through it. We're talking about several hours, more than likely, before they finally said that we need just to wash our hands of this and send him to Herod. They don't want to send him to Pontius Pilate. And here, you see the temple, the white part is the temple there, and over on in the left-hand top corner, a little gray area, that was the Antonio Fortress, or the Praetorium. That's where Pontius Pilate would have reviewed Jesus' situation. Pontius Pilate, again, you remember the stories, he was always favorable towards Jesus, especially in John's account. And he could not see what was wrong, but he did not see if the Jews, of course, the Jews were forbidden to execute anybody. But if the Jews had executed Jesus, do you know how they would have executed him? The cross was awful to them. They would have executed him by stoning him to death.